Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Steph Rubino.
I've always struggled with my name. When I was little, it was infuriating that I could never find any keychains or mugs or other souvenirs with my name properly spelled on them. They always had S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E, and never my name, S-T-E-F-A-N-I. Or they had S-T-E-P-H and not S-T-E-F. And no one ever pronounced it right on the first try. Always Stefani, like Gwen's last name, never Stephanie. On top of that, Stephanie ranked as the seventh most popular girl's name for babies born in 1988, my birth year. And in all of the classrooms I was in across Fort Lauderdale, it seemed as if it was number one. In every class I had, there was at least three of us, which caused our teachers to number us. And I was always the last number in the sequence for some reason, but that's conversation for another time. I asked my mom over and over again why she did this to me, why she chose F over PH, why she chose my name to begin with. Her answers were never good enough. She'd say, because I wanted you to be more original in regards to the choice of spelling, and because it's pretty, and your dad wouldn't let me name you Miranda in regards to her choice of the name in general. For a long time, I'd tell her I wanted to change my name, but every time I did, she'd get this look on her face that made me feel terrible. So I changed the narrative to, well, okay, I'm just going to change the spelling to the normal way. When I was a kid, changing the spelling to the normal way felt like the answer to all of my problems because no one ever spells it correctly, which can be especially disempowering. I was convinced that that was where the bulk of my discomfort with my name came from. Even when I was still on Facebook, my name right there for everyone to see, I would still get messages and comments with S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E or S-T-E-P-H, which always felt like a sick joke. After a while, I just got used to not correcting people because I didn't want to be annoying or I didn't want to take the time out to do it or I was just tired, and I was very, very tired. As I've gotten older, I've been slowly pivoting away from Stephanie to Steph, which feels more gender neutral and in line with my identity. Although I came out as queer when I was 15 years old, the journey to understanding my gender identity was much more complicated and took much longer. At 27, I finally figured out that I'm non-binary, and I began the process of identifying as non-binary to myself and to others. I have never felt fully female, and I don't feel male either. I've always felt as if I existed somewhere outside of this binary, but I didn't understand what that meant until I started finding the language to talk about it. I also finally understood why the name Stephanie never felt like it fully fit who I am. Steph felt a little better. There are male Stephs and female Stephs, so I took it on. But truthfully, I didn't really start to love it until recently. Earlier this year, my friend Elia hosted a poetry workshop at the History Miami Museum as part of the O Miami Poetry Festival, centered around the concept of names, given and chosen for transgender and gender nonconforming people. He led us through several writing exercises designed to make us feel empowered by our names and ourselves. He outfitted the whole room with pens and paper and markers, and then he led us through several exercises. The first was to describe our name using all five senses, and then we also wrote haikus about our names. And then there was a group of us, I'm not exactly sure how many, and then we actually wrote two collaborative poems together. We went around writing one word each until we completed the poem. Over the course of the workshop, we had to write our names several times for the different activities. As I kept writing it, I just kept looking at it, and I just kept feeling as if it was me more and more, as if it fit me more and more, because I kept saying it in my head over and over again, and it started to make more sense that Steph is an essential part of who I am. I love the look of it, especially in all lowercase letters. and I love the sound of it. The quickness of how it goes from hard sounds to soft ones, the way that transition is so reflective of who I am, a fighter with the most tender giving heart. It took me almost all of my life to get to the place where I embrace this name, the one given to me and the one I have chosen, and so I've stopped giving people leverage with it. Now I don't allow people to spell my name wrong or pronounce it wrong in my presence. Getting over the initial reservations I had about how people would respond to me when I corrected them took me some time, but it has made a huge difference in the ways I perceive myself. Hearing and seeing people address me properly helps breathe life into my identity. It helps me feel important, and most crucially, it helps me feel as if I am right where I need to be. I'll never get tired of saying it. My name is now and always Steph.
Steph Rubino, a story about growing into her own name.
And we know that name signifies so much. I mean, name is a metaphor for identity, and it is identity. So in a sense, this is an extremely foundational story for a human being.
It's an inspirational story because that workshop really helped Steph identify with her own name.
That really is the crux of the story, that the arts dissed all over the place. The humanities in general, but certainly the arts. It's so often the case that we say science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM disciplines, are the most important for Americans, and yet we really need the arts on so many different levels. And this is a beautiful example of how art works as therapy. One of the other things that makes a good story is to have it be readily identifiable. People can really relate to it. I have a name, Caren, and the minute she said they didn't have the little things when you're a kid, the little, you know, I always liked the little bicycle license plates, and Karen was always spelled Karen. And so I smiled when I heard her talk about that because on one hand, adults like to name their kids a little different name to have them stand out. In naming books, they say that's a good thing. But when you're a little kid, you want to be like everybody else.
It's really amazing what an impact that has on your life. She mentioned it almost as being a sick joke, people always misspelling her name.
Kids make fun of other kids' names. This is part of growing up. There was a show, I know I'm giving out my age, but there was a show when I was a kid called Diver Dan, and the villain was Baron Barracuda. And kids used to say to me, Karen Baron. And it upset me no end. And now I just laugh. Why did that make me cry? Karen Baron. They didn't even say Karen Barracuda. But this story is also about the sensitivity of young kids. And some of us grow out of that sensitivity. Some of us never do. Some of us carry around those wounds. It's sort of a story of somebody emerging from childhood and recognizing that she has something to be proud of. And the fact that she can tie this into her sexual identity in such a beautiful way, and that that's what the workshop was about, really makes this a lovely story.
I guess we could thank O Miami.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand there's a storytelling event.
Yes, next Saturday, that's April 27th, at the Boca Raton Public Library, 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Boca, 4 to 5:30 p.m. There is a storytelling slam. Personal stories about 5 to 7 minutes in length. Come and listen. Come and participate. We take the first 10 storytellers who sign up.
And we are also looking for storytellers for the Public Storyteller. How can they contact you?
Always. Anything you want to say to me, C. Neil. C. N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at F as in Frank, A-U dot E-D-U.
Our website also has contact information, as well as archived stories at WLRN.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.